One speech. He took a very strange walk down a ramp. This was a big topic online this weekend. So after his speech, you can see there he is. He shakes hands with the lieutenant general, who then gives him a wave, and then down he goes, very slowly tippy-tapping down the ramp, tentatively, like he's walking barefoot on sharp rocks. And maybe the bone spurs are acting up. Everybody's wondering what was going on. And we found out when he got to the bottom of the ramp, it turns out he still had his clown shoes on. So we can only hope he steps down that gracefully after November. So they post this video, and everybody goes nuts. And our unstable genius just cannot take being made fun of. So instead of just letting it go, Rumpelstiltskin tweets, "The ramp that I descended after my West Point commencement speech was very long and steep, had no handrail, and most importantly, was very slippery. The last thing I was going to do is fall for the fake news to have fun with. Final 10 feet, I ran down to level ground. Momentum." Final 10 feet, he ran down. He didn't know, he did not. And the idea that the ramp was slippery seems suspect, considering there was not a cloud in the sky. I don't know, maybe some curly fries he had in his pocket, fell out and greased the ramp on the way up. I don't know. Trump is very defensive about anything that makes him look weak. He doesn't wear a mask. He's too strong to get coronavirus. I wasn't in the bunker for protection. I was inspecting it. I wasn't shuffling down that ramp like an old man. It was slippery, and I ran down it. Also, the ramp was covered in banana peels, and there were many snakes. I am braver than every soldier. We wrote that, but it isn't out of the realm of possibility.
This afternoon, Donald Trump signed an executive order on police reform. Now, before you get excited, don't. It doesn't do much. It does propose a national database of police misconduct. So he's compiling an Excel spreadsheet of all the worst cops in America. Not sure what he's going to do with it.
Let's see, I need someone to curb stomp some protesters. Ooh, he's got big boots.
Trump's order will also urge social workers and mental health professionals to work more closely alongside frontline officers. It doesn't say how closely they'll be working together, because that might get a little weird.
Okay, you just tear gassed a group of unarmed civilians. Is that because you never felt accepted by your mother?
Okay, I'm aware of the time. Let's take this up at next week's pepper spraying.
Trump's plan also promises federal grant money to encourage local departments to bolster training and certification. I'm pretty sure the chant is defund the police. If you give them more funding, they're just going to spend it on a tank called the De-escalator 4000.
So we've got an executive order that we're doing. It's a strong order, and it's from the executive. That's what they call this. Sometimes you say the White House or the president. But it's more than the... I mean, well, it's not much more than the president, but it's... You know, they call the whole group the executive branch. It's like a tree that's made of government. And on that very powerful branch is the executive. I'd say the strongest branch. But we're doing some police reforms. And believe me, Obama, he tried and he couldn't get it done. But I've done more for the African-American community than basically anybody, I think. I don't think you'll find anybody who's done more strong things for the African-American community. I'm still waiting for my invite to the cookout. I might have my own cookout at the White House. You know, have Ben Carson bring the raisin-filled potato salad. Candace Owens will bring the... I don't know what she'll bring, but she'll probably bring it with great intellect. Okay, she'll probably bring her new boyfriend, okay, Derek Chauvin. She's, you know, they've been going steady for a little bit, so we're eager to meet him. But we have three great things in this executive order, three great things. Number one, in official White House emails from the president, Colin Kaepernick will no longer be referred to as that kneeling N-word, okay? So we're trying to heal. We're trying to use more constructive language to... It's called easing the tension. Number two, although we don't defund the police, which I don't like that term, we are asking Sting to rejoin the police at 75% salary. We're hoping that can get it done if he's not too busy having 40-hour sex. And the third thing we're doing... Mike Pence can no longer role play in his Village People police costume. So it's a strong thing, and we'll see what happens.
Now, before the signing, Trump met with the families of police shooting victims, and he made them a solemn oath, which he apparently forgot immediately.
I gave a commitment to all of those families today with Senator Tim Scott and Attorney General Bill Barr. We are going to pursue what we said. We will be pursuing it, and we will be pursuing it strongly.
As God is my witness, I promise to pursue the thingamajig that we said with the folks for the what you call it, and those people and what's her name. And the point is, black lives, meow, meow, meow.
Now, this event was supposedly about police reform, but Trump made it clear that he doesn't think it's that necessary.
Nobody needs a strong, trustworthy police force more than those who live in distressed areas, and nobody is more opposed to the small number of bad police officers, and you have them. They're very tiny. I use the word tiny.
Tiny bad cops. Little Lego baddies. Still, the danger is if you step on them in the middle of the night, you're in for a world of pain.
Then Trump announced his decisively conditional action.
Choke calls will be banned, except if an officer's life is at risk.
That's a loophole big enough to drive a squad car through. All right, everybody. After multiple incidents, hungry tigers will now be banned from this elementary school, unless the tiger finds the children particularly delicious. Class dismissed.
And I think the concept of choke calls sounds so innocent, so perfect.
Then, right before he signed the executive order, he closed by making it creepy.
We must cherish the principles of America's founding as we strive to deliver safe, beautiful, elegant justice and liberty for all.
And so what we see with Trump is he's really historically, he's the second president of the Confederacy.
Thanks for the this week from
Golden Earring.
And thanks to
Rod Serling, Rudy Giuliani, Cartman, Richard Nixon, J.L. Corvin,
Jimmy
Kimmel, Kristen Welker, Kaylee McEnany, Stephen Colbert, Seth Meyers,
and
Steve Schmidt.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
So now I'm very unhappy with what they did with DACA, and now I'm pronouncing it Docker. Okay, DACA is a term of endearment, but now I'm calling all those Dockers with the hard R, because they're not like the pants. Remember the pants when you wore remember Dockers? They were so big. But I'm telling you right now, I'm very disappointed in our Supreme Court. Okay, I put Brett Kavanaugh on there. He's writing too many dissents. I put him on there because I thought he could maybe, like, you know, he was the type of guy who wouldn't take no for an answer. And with three women in the liberal wing, I thought maybe he could, you know, Kavanaugh some sense into them, okay? A little boofing, a little, you know, horseplay, okay? Putting his little psycho calendar. But that's, you know, I'm just very disappointed. So I'm just going to tell all my, you know, psycho followers who are bigots and, you know, have sex with their guns or something, I'm going to just talk Second Amendment to them, even though this had nothing to do with the Second Amendment. You know, they start foaming at the mouth, my stupid supporters. So let's, Second Amendment, Second Amendment. And then they go, oh, they're freedoms, freedoms. And it's a beautiful thing. So hopefully they get nasty. And then we're headed to Tulsa. You know, I'm going to get tested a lot, of course, and nobody can sue me. They're not allowed to sue me, these stupid people. They're going to sign a waiver just to hear me speak. You know, sold out seats to hear Biggie speak. You know, sold out corpses to hear Donald Trump speak. And we're doing it in Tulsa. And I made Juneteenth very popular. And, you know, I'm looking at, Jared Kushner watched Watchmen, okay? And I learned a lot from that. I just hope, you know, Mike Pence, you know, big gay Mike Pence, just kept watching that one episode with the blue guy who turned into a black. You know, he was the BBC, and then he turned into a BBC. And, you know, hopefully Pence can, you know, I think he's going to try looking for that guy in Tulsa. But overall, I hope our followers get there, okay? And we're going to talk Second Amendment, even though it has nothing to do with anything. And we're going to do tremendous rallies. And if they die, you know, as Drago said, the great Russian Drago, if they die, they die. I want a rally, okay? We can always replace 20,000 white trash Mountain Dew psychos with another 20,000 white trash Mountain Dew psychos. We'll see what happens. Before we speak to this great rally of 20,000 people, 20,000 people, Mike, that's a lot of people. We got so many people. And there, by the way, there's hundreds of thousands on the wait list, on the wait list. So we did very strongly. I don't think Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe, I don't think Sleepy Joe can get 20,000 people in arena. I don't think he's going to get 20,000 people to vote for him, to be honest. But I got to tell you, we are so proud. We're so proud. Nobody's wearing masks. We hate the masks. We don't need masks to protect us, okay? We don't need the masks. What we need is our great Second Amendment. And I think we have a lot of Second Amendment people here. Great gun. We love our guns, don't we? Who needs the vote? Who needs anything when you've got that, you know, that beautiful gun to keep you safe and tough? But I want to speak very briefly. The reason we moved it to today out of great respect was yesterday was Juneteenth. It's called Juneteenth, okay, Juneteenth. And it's this very important day when the, you know, there was a Black Wall Street. There was a Black Wall Street. And on Juneteenth, which is June 19th, they did like the, you know, sort of like Froyo, when you take the frozen yogurt, they made like a Froyo, but Juneteenth. They, on Juneteenth, canceled Black Wall Street. They canceled it. They canceled Black, and we didn't want to show up yesterday to, you know, very solemn occasion, so I sent Candace Owens here instead. So she pissed on a mass grave in Tulsa yesterday because, you know, that's, she's got such great connections with the African American, really just such an intellect, so much talent. But we didn't want to show up because Black Wall Street, of course, was canceled, and it was only when they redid it with Michael Douglas that it made all that money, but we wanted to show great respect for Black Wall Street. And now that we've done that, why are they trying? You know what they're doing now? They're not only did they have the impeachment hoax, they're now trying to take your Black Lady syrup, okay? Aunt Jemima, no, I'm issuing an executive order. Aunt Jemima stays, okay? She stays, believe me.
So what I want to do is I want to go around quickly, announce everybody, let everybody know who's in the building. Our sister, J-Mac, she's out there on the front line. She got an event that she pushed. And let's go around, give her some time to talk about it. My name is Big Vern, Hud City till I die. That's it. You know what I'm saying? Ray?
Yo, this is the grand finale. One-fifth, 119th. Of the Drive Time Radio Show called Out of Catskill, a.k.a. Stupid.
That was dope. Yo, Mac, I got to give him that.
Yeah, that was hot. He's coming out blazing right now.
Yo,
this is your boy, Ed Mac, man, representing North Carolina right now, 1,000 degrees. What's up, Ms. Dia?
India. I'm in Albany at work. I'm sorry. I'm trying to do two things at once.
last but not least, is J-Mac. J-Mac, my sister, I'm glad you're here. What I want you to do is I want you to introduce yourself, tell everybody where you're repping from, and then just give us the announcement and all the information we need for this event, please.
Okay, my name is Janessa Mackey. Repping Janessa Hope Mackey. Thank you. Thank you. repping Hud City, always. So this Saturday at 4 p.m., there is a Juneteenth Freedom March. It will be at the Hudson Skywalk. It's the roundabout area and like the side parking area right in front of the Catskill Bridge. And people from Catskill will also be involved. It's like a Hudson and Catskill Unite type of thing. And, you know, it's full force. Like, there, you know, we're planning as we go every single day, all the time. And I would love for anyone and everyone to be there. This is just going to be a march. We're going to the bridge. We are going to meet, I believe, in the middle of the bridge. It could change, but updates will be, you know, always coming. So be sure to check out the Facebook event on Facebook. You know, contact me for any questions, anything you need. I am the media person involved in it all. Also, we are seeking any volunteers, any donations, water especially. You know, it is going to be hot Saturday, supposedly. I have seen, you know, we need ice, we need hats, masks, especially like we're following COVID-19 procedures and everything. You can contact me. You can contact Michael Alert, Justice Brantley, Kyle Wademan, you know, and Jalal Sabur, I believe. And this, and it's full force. So Saturday, 4 p.m., and there will be parking in the Columbia Green parking lot, closest to the, I want to say, left entrance. It's like the main entrance, really, by the sign. So, well, there's two. But either way, there will be direction. The police are involved, troopers. Everyone is involved. So we have, you know, everyone is there and doing this as much as we can. So definitely let me know if you need, if anyone can volunteer. There's going to be food vendors. If anyone wants to sell food, just let me know. Any donations, any food donations, any water donations, whatever, just let me know. And we're really just here to be peaceful and just send a message across and just, you know, fight the fight. It's not over. So,
hey Jay, if I could ask you, especially on behalf of a lot of our listeners, why Juneteenth, first of all? I mean, why is that important? And then two, what are we hoping to accomplish by having this march on Juneteenth?
Hold on, Ed. J-Mac, I want to go one before that, because your questions are, but I want to go one before that, Mac, if you may let me. J-Mac, go forget his questions. My question is, why Hudson Catskill and the importance between the bridge? Then we'll go to Juneteenth, because I think the correlation between Hudson and Catskill and the bridge will piggyback to what Ed is saying. It'll make more sense as we go along.
Cool.
So Hudson and Catskill, as everyone from Hudson and Catskill knows, there's always been a rivalry. There's always been a competition. There's always been just something there. Like, if you say you're from Catskill and you're from Hudson, it's always like, oh, all right. But so,
and what separates us? What separates us?
A bridge.
Okay. And you guys are meeting on the bridge.
Yes.
Catskill on that side, Hudson on this side, and you're going to meet in the middle. All right. I just wanted to get that out to the people that are listening that are not familiar with our area, of how big of a sacrifice that is for you young people to say, you know what, it doesn't matter about this bridge anymore. It matters about Eddie's question, which was,
why Juneteenth? And what are we hoping to accomplish?
Uh-oh.
Oh. No. We lost
Yeah, lost Catskill. Because we mentioned Catskill too many times. That's why. I knew it. Catskill, that's what they do, man. They always be messing up stuff. Sorry, Shirley. Dude,
they
move,
man. They got it like that, dude. They can just throw little hacks on us like that.
I was mad, my daughter. Trump, but y'all gonna blame Catskill?
Yeah, I know.
Yo, Mac, my daughter live in Catskill, and Ray live in Catskill. He the one that probably hit the button. Come on, man, let J-Mac speak.
Oh, salty.
See? You see?
J-Mac, go out. J-Mac, go out and come back in. Yeah, go out and come back in. All right, so listen, I really want to talk about the India and Ray and Eddie. We're going to wait for J-Mac to answer your question. But India and Ray, let's talk about the fact that Hudson and Catskill is finally trying to do something together. You know what I mean? Like, how important is that for us? Like, all of us, and Ray, you came later, but you know how it feels. When you moved to Catskill, bro, I told you. What'd I tell you? I love you, but you live in Catskill now, bro.
Listen, I became a rival the moment I said I ain't even get the keys yet. I was already becoming a rival just from moving. But I understand how huge this is, and I understand how big of a role to see Hudson kids, you know, the future generation kind of say, listen, we got to make this thing happen. And the best way to this has the mark of bars and lyricism all over it. You got a rival, two rival communities meeting at a bridge that separates the two rival communities coming together to meet at the middle. Listen, I feel like Loaded Luck should be there to do the speech.
J-Mac, come back. Hey, India, go ahead, Mac, on my bad.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, man, because obviously I don't live in Catskill and I do not live in Hudson. But I do understand that concept. But I really want to make sure that we're clear about this term rival, right? Because we don't want people to think that it's more than what it is from a negative standpoint.
No, it is what it is.
It is what it is, bro.
It is what it is, bro.
Talk to me.
It is what it is. It could be just competitive.
There ain't no cleaning up rivalry. Yeah. That's exactly what Hudson and Catskill are.
That's what it is? Okay.
Yeah, bro.
That's what it is.
It's a rivalry.
Yo, it's like Juice Crew versus Boogie Down Production, bro.
No, that's what's up. Well, look, man, you know, I know how it is in Downstate. You know, this Queens versus Brooklyn versus Bronx versus, you know what I mean? Like this. So you have that same sort of thing. But at the end of the day, it's still, you know, New Yiddy Love. So I'm just, you know, just curious how deep it goes.
It's
but
deep.
It sounds like them.
Yeah. Go to the great, 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 great grandparents.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I felt like you did. When I first moved here and I heard about the rivalry for the first time, I felt the same way you did. Like, I can't be that deep. Everybody looked at me like, yeah, okay.
Go ahead and move. See what happens.
It's deep. I'll be walking around with my husband's sweater on, and they be like, oh, word, that's what you're doing? Yup.
Yeah, no, it's deep. When Ray told us, yo, Ray was like, yo, we bought a house. We were so happy. Like, yo, word. Yo, salute, bro. We so proud of you. He's like, but it's in Catskill. Like, yo, bro. Yeah.
Wamp, wamp, wamp.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yo, my daughter. Yo, Eddie, no lie. My daughter live in Catskill. When Hudson play Catskill, she can't even come on the Hudson side. Yo, stay over there.
Wow.
So stay over there. I'll see you at the end of the game.
Now, Ver, you remember our brother Chris Evans. Now him and his people, they was all Catskill, right?
Nah, Chris from Poughkeepsie. We don't got beef with Poughkeepsie like that because they crazy. And you have really got to go to war with them. Poughkeepsie, Newburgh, all them, they crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Chris from Poughkeepsie, yeah. J-Mac, you back?
That's what's up.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes,
there you go.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
Yo, you had the spotlight. Yo, you shouldn't be working with them Catskill people. Nah, I'm joking. Yo, I want to say this. I got so much love for Catskill, and I will say this. My whole growing up, I had that rivalry in my blood. But it took a guy from Catskill, God bless the dead, named Daryl Jordan, that made me realize the difference between Catskill and Hudson. And it was just that bridge. That was the difference. And we are so much alike. And I'm just so proud of the younger men and women doing it earlier. So J-Mac, Eddie asked you why Juneteenth. That was your question. I ain't gonna speak for you, Mac. Go ahead.
No, right on. She got it. It's just why Juneteenth, and what are we hoping to accomplish?
Juneteenth because Juneteenth should already be a national holiday. It is the day that, you know, slaves found out that they were free. It was 2 years after everything, when they should have. So, you know, it's just symbolic in that part of it. And it's also symbolic in the fact that of the history of Hudson and Catskill, and for that to be, you know, something that can bring both sides together, especially on that day, well, that weekend especially, it's very important. It's just going to send a positive message. And
so my question to you, J-Mac, every name that you name are younger, young leaders that are ready to take the rap. Where did this inspiration come from you guys to just say, listen, you know what? We're in control now. We're going to put a rally together. We're going to do something that our ancestors, even our parents, didn't do. At your age, there was no way I was willing to march with anybody from Casper. I wasn't willing to do that. I wasn't. Right. Like, I'd be like, we could do Juneteenth over here. Right. They could do it over there. But I wasn't willing to go in the middle of the bridge. Like, I wasn't.
Right. The message is definitely, for me, it's bigger than the beef for me. There's such a bigger message there. But I definitely understand what you're saying and everything. But for the younger people, like, stepping up, and it's definitely Mike Alert and Justice Brantley are doing a lot more, and especially Justice Brantley's mom. I can't remember her name right now. So there's been a lot of people, like, I'm just getting involved and just putting forth, you know, everything to get it all together. I was there we had a meeting this morning. Like, it's a lot, but it's worth it. So it just feels good to be a part of something like this, to be doing something like this, and to bring people together and just, you know, show that change needs to come.
I wanted to ask, you know, just kind of in a way to piggyback off of what B was saying and to stay on the point of the youth, and you are a younger generation than we are, and you guys are putting so much effort into what you're doing, which is amazing to see. But for you as an individual, we knew that you had the spark. We knew that you had this passion. All of that stuff existed. We knew that. But to see you, there's like a new fire that's been lit for you, from the George Floyd to the Breonna Taylor to all of that, and now to this Juneteenth event. What sparked it, and why is that spark so strong in you for these topics, so the viewers can understand it?
Right. Well, me and Mike had actually been talking about it before we even got everything together, and he, you know, went on his way and just made it all happen, and then, you know, included me. So for me, it just means, like, you know, to me, it's history. Regardless of how many people attend it, it's, you know, a really big step forward. And as you said, I've had, like, this passion to just be a part of something and do something and bring forward change and, you know, show people younger than me, show people older than me, show everybody that, like, all it takes is just time and dedication and understanding and, like, always being ready to learn and, like, always just opening yourself up to the opportunity to change someone's mind, especially.
If I could say, man, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was saying, you got a question?
Oh, yeah, I was just saying, well, more of a statement / question. And it's really, you know, as a gray hair OG to you, Jay, please know and understand that you guys have the keys. You are in charge of this. And don't let any old head come up to y'all and try to distract y'all about their old beefs, their old wars, or whatever it is that they've got issues with. You guys are doing a beautiful thing. You're trying to bring some unity that was definitely needed, and it's for a good reason. So just be headstrong and steadfast in knowing that you guys, this is yours. This is yours, and it's something to really be proud of. And we're here to learn from you now.
fact.
And it's our job to support you.
And your
movement. And anybody who's not about that life or having that conversation with you is a distraction.
Step aside.
Yeah, I want to piggyback off of what Ed said. And J Mac, you know this.
This is 90.7 FM WGXC.
Hi, I'm Christina from Colony. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM ACRAP.
Hay acciones cotidianas para ayudar a prevenir la propagación de enfermedades respiratorias. Lávese las manos. Evite el contacto cercano con las personas enfermas. Evite tocarse los ojos, la nariz y la boca. Quédese en casa cuando esté enfermo. Cúbrase al toser o estornudar. Limpie y desinfecte de manera frecuente los objetos que toca. Para obtener más información, visite cdc.gov/COVID-19. Este mensaje es gentileza de la National Association of Broadcasters y de esta estación.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Gemini Construction, a full-service contracting firm specializing in complete electrical construction services. Gemini Construction, serving Greene and surrounding counties for over 40 years. For more information, contact 518-622-9829.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Melissa Alfdermar and Tony Stone of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
This is Brian DeWan. I leave my clock radio tuned to 90.7 FM so that when it goes off in the morning, the first thing I hear is WGXC.
Trump rally in Tulsa inflames racism amidst coronavirus surge. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. The weight of history is bearing down on the United States as mass protests confront the enduring impact of systemic racism. Millions have been moved to action by the police murders of African Americans George Floyd in Minneapolis, Breonna Taylor in Louisville, Kentucky, Tony McDade in Tallahassee, Florida, Rayshard Brooks in Atlanta, and by the killing of Ahmaud Arbery in Brunswick, Georgia, by a retired police officer and his son. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is holding one of his signature demagogic rallies, the first since the pandemic struck, at an indoor arena in Tulsa, just as Oklahoma suffers its worst week of COVID-19 infections. Trump refuses to wear a mask publicly. And while the Trump campaign will not require attendees wear masks at the arena either, it will require them to sign a waiver releasing the campaign from liability should they contract COVID-19. Trump's choice of Tulsa has angered many. COVID-19 disproportionately impacts African Americans. If the rally, as expected, causes a further surge in local coronavirus cases, the Black community will potentially be the most impacted. Furthermore, this month marks the 99th anniversary of one of the worst massacres of African Americans in U.S. history. In June 1921, a white mob burned to the ground Tulsa's affluent African-American neighborhood of Greenwood, known as Black Wall Street, killing at least 300 residents. Trump also scheduled his rally for June 19th, known as Juneteenth, a day of commemoration and celebration in the African-American community. Juneteenth is the anniversary of the day enslaved people in Galveston, Texas, first heard of their liberation following the Civil War. On that day in 1865, Union Army General Gordon Granger publicly read General Order No. 3, which stated, "The people of Texas are informed that all slaves are free." Words spread and spontaneous celebrations ensued. It had been more than 2.5 years since President Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation. In a 1941 audio interview recorded by the Library of Congress, Laura Smalley, born into slavery in Texas, recalled learning of her freedom as a child. The plantation owner who enslaved her, Mr. Bethany, had returned from war but did not tell those he enslaved that the Confederacy had lost the war and that they were free.
You know, and old Marshall didn't tell you it was free. You know, he didn't tell. They waited till, I think now they said they waited them 6 months out of that, 6 months, and turned them loose on the 19th of June. That's why, you know, you celebrate that day.
Trump's appropriation of Juneteenth for his rally provoked outrage. California Democratic Senator Kamala Harris tweeted, "This isn't just a wink to white supremacists. He's throwing them a welcome home party." Fearing mass protests in Tulsa, Trump caved, shifting the rally one day to June 20th. Tulsa attorney and author Hannibal Johnson, who wrote the definitive history of the 1921 Tulsa massacre, said of Trump's rally on the Democracy Now! NewsHour,
"Here in Tulsa, we are working hard on reconciliation, on moving our community closer together as we approach the 100th anniversary of the 1921 Tulsa race massacre. And the rally has the potential to be a disruptor to where we are on the road to reconciliation."
Also speaking on Democracy Now!, scholar, activist, and Black liberation icon Angela Davis added,
"He represents a sector of the population in this country that wants to return to the past, make America great again, with all of its white supremacy, with all of its misogyny. And I think that at this moment, we are recognizing that we cannot be held back by such forces."
Strong currents are countering Trump as he inflames racism and encourages police violence against protesters. The Movement for Black Lives is organizing a national weekend of actions across the U.S., including protests outside the White House on Juneteenth. The Mass Poor People's Assembly and Moral March on Washington is also taking place on June 20th. Unlike Trump's in-person indoor rally with no possibility of social distancing and no requirement to wear masks, the Moral March's lead organizer, Reverend Dr. William Barber, encourages safe organizing.
"Stay at home, stay alive, organize, organize. We're going to put a face and a voice on poverty. We're going to lay out the demands that are going to come from people who are impacted and the experts and religious our leaders. We got 16 denominations joining us, 100 organizations, but more importantly, 45 state coordinating committees made up of poor and low-wealth people."
Mass movements are coalescing, not only to reject hatred and inequality, but to demand equality through fundamental change to our economic and social structures. No matter how much Trump tries to vilify these activists as thugs and terrorists, it's they, people in the streets, who represent the proudest traditions of protest and dissent and the best of what this country can be. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes? Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu, up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
We'll be right back.
Jay.